This episode is sponsored in part by Address Validator. Did you know incorrect addresses cost U.S. businesses $20 billion every year? That's $216,000 on average per company, just gone thanks to failed deliveries. Think about that extra re-delivery fee, the handling costs, and worst of all, unhappy customers who might never return. But here's the good news. Address Validator has your back. It integrates seamlessly with Shopify to catch and correct address errors before they become costly problems. Every day, it validates over 300,000 orders and prevents more than 11,000 failed deliveries for brands like Sennheiser, Helly Hansen, and even Kylie Cosmetics. And it's a no-brainer to try. You can validate shipping addresses on your first 100 orders for free, no strings attached. Plus, you could track exactly how much you're saving in the Address Validator dashboard. So stop letting bad addresses drain your revenue. Head to the Shopify App Store and get Address Validator today.
I'm Hercules. I am Hercules.
I love him. Arnie's the best.
The dubbed version, you see, it's Arnold. It's young Arnold. He's ripped. He's gorgeous. And he's just like, hello, I am Hercules. it's so insane.
It's got to break your brain. Because we all know how Arnie talks, right? It's like, that's him. The look, the giant, you know, his appearance, but also I mean, that accent.
You turned into podcast Kurt in the middle of that response. That's not how you actually would talk to me.
No, I'd be like, oh, disgusting.
Sick.
And then that could be positive or negative.
So they let you back in the country?
After I vaped in my hotel room last year.
That was last time you set off the fire alarms.
Because I vaped in my hotel room like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, not my finest moment. So I just didn't purchase vape products.
Well, and you were high, so when it went off, you were like, they're out to get me. They're coming.
Oh, no. When a fire alarm goes off in a hotel room, magically, you're suddenly very sober. Yeah, that was fun. No. Zero shenanigans. I wasn't even accidentally rude to anyone this year.
Oh, good.
Which, that just happens when I go out in public.
That you know of.
That's true.
They're all recording their podcast right now, being like, you know what asshole I talk to? Kurt Elster.
I'm offended. But maybe. So yeah, Additions. Shopify's big, or Additions.dev, sorry. Their big developer partner conference in Toronto, as I went to last week, had a great time. But then they've also got Additions. That's different. The difference between Additions and Additions.dev, are you aware of this?
Is that like the difference between shop and shop? In the shop app?
Where you use
Shop Pay for Shop Cash?
No, Additions is the fancy website where they make all the announcements twice a year.
Okay.
The like super styled one. Like this year it had a racing game stuck in it.
And what's that URL?
Assume it's shopify.com/additions.
Oh, okay. It's not additions.com or additions.dev, which I think is a valid URL.
No, the other one's additions.dev. That's valid. That is in fact the URL. That's the event.
So the URL of the event is additions.dev.
Uh-huh.
But the website you're supposed to go to,
if you want about the features,
is not additions.dev.
No, that's shopify.com/additions, I believe.
Just, you know, another great naming scheme by Shopify.
But no, I love going to these things, meeting people, glide handing, shaking hands, doing a little, finding a corner, doing a little lightning interview with some background ambient noise. It's fun. Plus, it gets me out of my house. Need to leave occasionally.
What was the atmosphere? The buzz, comma, attendance, comma, tone, question mark.
I can't even tell you're reading. That's amazing. Jeez. Wow.
I am Hercules.
Well, you know, it's always positive at those things. Slapping high fives. Everybody's thrilled.
Just everyone is Ezra Firestone for 24 hours?
Yeah, more or less.
And then Ezra Firestone just like vibrates to the point where he like lights up like a sun?
Well, he becomes invisible eventually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's how he leaves. All right, I think I've been to all of these Shopify annual developer events. You know, like previously it was Unite, now it's Additions.dev, and for sure they've got these things down to an art form or science. I mean, it's just like, they are nice, you show up, you will be treated well, you will have a great time, you will be impressed. It's table stakes. So of, you know, the many conferences I've gone to, yeah, I like the little boutique ones, but for the big ones, this is the best I've been to. And you know, I wouldn't even describe it necessarily as like big as far as attendance. For sure, I suspect they limit attendance size intentionally just to keep things more manageable. And it's just less overwhelming for attendees. For me, at any of these things, I like the hallway track. I just want to talk to people. And here, that's what this episode is about. We're going to hear from those folks. But you know, what's cool about these events, in the past, it was like, hey, here's the announcements. You know, here's the features. Whereas now the system is they make the feature announcements on additions to the webpage, which like we're ribbing them. But the system works better because you're not finding out for the first time at the event. Like you've had some time to digest it. You know, then 10 days later, you're at this event. And now the people who built those features, who worked on those tools, are there on the floor in like clearly delineated booths. So like, oh, you got a question about this theme feature? There's a themes booth. And then you could just go find the person who worked on that thing you have a question about. It's like that I really appreciate about the format they do here. And then there's like workshops and panels. There was a singular theme to this event. It was, of course, it was AI.
So what you're saying is most of this podcast is just going to be me being mad about things that like don't really work.
I saw you using AI today. You were coding with Claude today.
Well, I just asked it a question and to try and get a quick answer on something so I didn't have to bang my head against it. And it gave me a very confident answer. Oh, I was so confident in its answer.
It is supremely confident.
So it was like, here you go, man. Here's exactly what you need. That didn't work. It didn't work. And then I was like, it didn't work. And it was like, oh, you're so right.
I'm so sorry. My bad.
You're right. That didn't work. Here's what you need to do. That didn't work either. Don't worry, though. It's going to take over the world. We're all going to lose our jobs.
Yeah, well, they're...
But the thing that doesn't work most of the time just lies to you.
I don't know why people are scared of it. They're like practically bred for complacency.
It's truly like the dumbest employee at your company. Like think of the job, think of where you work right now. Think of the dumbest guy that works there. And it's like a pleasant version of that guy where he's just like, oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I did get that wrong.
It's Gil from The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's like, all right, little buddy, you're okay.
In my head,
it's like, Gil from The Simpsons, yes. Exactly.
I mean, sure, there are like lots of cool tools. The big one, you know, the big AI announcement here was really like something that we'll see develop over 12 to 24 months from now. And it's a suite of tools to try and make, in my interpretation of it was to try and make Shopify the like AI e-commerce data layer to the internet. And what I mean by that was they've added developer tools or will be adding them, you know, announcing them, that give these AI tools direct access to the entirety of the Shopify catalog. Holy crap, that's got to be quite the undertaking. And then the other stuff they announced was a global cart, where it's like, okay, if we have access to every online store product from every store, then how do people purchase it, and can they, you know, mix and match? And they announced, you know, global cart coming soon.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think, like, all the products that are on a Shopify store are on Shopify. So like the products are all there. You could make a giant pile of all the products. And the checkout, that's entirely controlled by Shopify. They've always controlled the checkout. You kind of a little bit leave the store and go to Shopify when you check out. But that middle thing of that cart, which is various products from the giant product pile and the checkout, so it's just a certain subset of products that could all be from different stores. They got to build that.
Yeah.
There's no support for that.
Yeah. So that's like the thing that comes after this globally accessible catalog built for AI. And you know, we'll get into that. That one's real. That's out there. Whereas like the global cart that was announced, they announced it, but that was like a coming soon. But the obvious next step here. And then, you know, point of sale, POS, if you use that, that got a big update, real refresh. And we've got an episode coming up after this one where we'll go deep into that as well. And then what was the other AI thing? Themes can generate their own blocks now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You know, I tried it. I told it what I wanted. I was like, you know, put a quote in this thing and fancy it up. It did it. First try, like did what I wanted, made theme settings. It was cool. Rather than have me recap it from my memory, let's go to Ann Thomas from Design Packs, great theme developer, and she's going to break down these theme sections in this AI tool.
Who are you and what do you do?
My name is Ann Thomas. I'm one of the co-founders of the Design Packs app.
Well, as long as we're here, what does Design Packs do? And this is important.
So we create sections and templates that can be used on any theme.
Okay, so you are deep in themes.
Very deep, yes.
I have theme questions for you.
Oh, great.
So recently they added in Horizon theme, I can AI generate. You just type in and it makes a block. Mm-hmm. But a block's not a section.
Correct.
All right, give me the difference between a section and a block.
Okay, so a section is the parent of a block. And so blocks also, they used to, previously, they were just one level. Now you could have nested blocks.
Okay.
So they keep going down. So the section is essentially the container, and the block goes within that container.
So on my product page, the product info is, that's a section, and then like title, price, reviews, those are blocks.
Those are blocks, and you can rearrange them and move them around, and they each have their own set of settings.
All right, and the new feature that we just added was I could type in a prompt and make a block, and it works reasonably well. It's kind of cool. And then there's something underlying to the theme code that had to change to make this possible.
Yes.
What is it?
Yes. So there is now the introduction of universal blocks. So you can actually use these blocks in any section that you would like. And we're removing the block code, so the schema. It used to be in the section file, and now it's been moved into a completely separate blocks folder with its own specific Liquid file for that block.
Okay, so that's, to a merchant, I don't think that matters or probably means much.
True.
To a theme developer, you're like, all right, that's not technically challenging, but it changes how the theme is structured.
Yes.
Is this going to be a problem for support for features, apps?
Well, you can use theme app extensions, so that's what apps use, to bring in their own blocks from their apps. So those will still be able to be used in there and everything. But there is, I think we're going to see a little bit of a friction point for people that if they're not starting net new and instead they're using their existing theme, adding in those extra features if their theme doesn't already have them. So we'll see how that goes in terms
of... I can't just click update?
No. Well, there are some sort of breaking changes that will be happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't expect this to just appear in my theme.
It may take a little bit for it to happen. I will say, though, something that Design Packs does, because you can use them, we have sections that you can use in any theme. All of our sections are being updated to support universal blocks.
Oh, interesting.
And the AI generator. So you can use those anywhere, and those can be carried over and updated, and no problem.
So can I make like a dummy section that's got nothing in it, just like a div,
mm-hmm.
but you know contains the right structure, and then be able to generate blocks?
Yeah, you can definitely do that.
Okay, so there are ways out if I'm like really desperate, but can't update my theme for some reason.
Yes, you can still get that fun AI block experience without updating your entire theme. You just need to... your section, that one section that you've added, either from Design Packs or custom code, it just needs to be added in there so that you can generate that block.
And you know, you talk to a lot of partners, merchants, you do demo calls.
Yeah.
We were talking about demo calls. What's the vibe? What's the sentiment? How are people feeling? Any trends you're noticing?
I mean, it's very new, right? So Horizons just came out recently. So I think that people are still playing around with it, learning what it can do, but it is...
I'm trying to break it. I have yet to break it.
It's very powerful. It's very, very powerful. So I think we're right on the edge of a change for what we're going to see in the storefront and online store.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I am. I am excited. I think it's going to be very different moving forward. I can't wait to see it in the hands of merchants and actually see what they do with it and what they build with it.
How do you feel about AI? I sense in these... talking to people that there are mixed feelings. There's like, wow, it's this powerful tool. But there's also like some existential dread with it.
Yes.
Someone else compared it to Y2K, where they're like, well, they're waiting for the shoe to drop.
I don't know about you, but I remember the first time I ever wrote something in ChatGPT and it gave me back a fully coherent answer. And I feel like I had goosebumps in terms of, wow, that is something else. And I think we are going to start outsourcing a lot of the stuff, you know, the drudgery work that, oh, you know, even things like merchants do on a regular basis, updating their products, that you no longer have to do manually. Instead, you can just get AI to do it. So that part, I think, is exciting.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's a wonderful productivity tool.
Yes.
Sure. I'm not afraid of it, though. You know, I think some people are worried about it.
I think that it's the important thing is the more you use it, I think the less it's afraid.
Because
you'll see its limitations.
Yes.
Yes. But it is getting better and better and better. But we're not at, you know, artificial general intelligence yet. So you still have to give it context of the world. It doesn't know what the real world is. So we have an advantage over it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Any Shopify features, apps, tools that you think are underrated? That you're like, man, I wish more people used this.
I would say, I think that markets, actually, a lot of people are just sort of using it for very basic things. One of the things, the announcements I was really excited about is being able now within markets to not only be able to target specific countries, but specific provinces. So for Canadians, we have Quebec, which is a French-speaking province. So things like that, where you can really dive deep into that personalization, I think that's AI at its core is really personalizing answers for you and the context. And so I think anytime you can do that for a customer in the buying experience, that's what people are going to start to expect.
So don't sleep on Shopify Markets.
Yeah.
We've had good experiences with it. It works.
Yeah, it does.
It's helpful.
Yep.
Geez, anything else I should ask while we're here? One tip. Give me one tip. One thing you wish every Shopify merchant would do. It could be anything.
I wish that, I know everybody's really busy and things are constantly changing and you have different things to worry about, inventory and that kind of thing, but I really wish everyone would take the time to look at their site and honestly do their own quality assurance, get their friends to look at it on mobile. Not enough people, they just sort of set it up and then they never look at it again, and there may be really obvious, you know, ways that you can convert and that kind of thing that you're just missing. So look at your site more frequently, especially on mobile.
That's what's funny, like one of the most valuable things I do for people is I just look at their site.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing anything. There's no fancy tools. I'm like, I'm just looking at it the same as anyone else. I'm like, hey, this button is completely covered by a widget.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, that's a surprise. When was the last time you used this? But no, it sounds simple, but you're absolutely right.
It's an easy win. Honestly, get that friend that you have that is a major online shopper. Get them to look through and they'll find things, you know? Yeah.
And Thomas, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Check out Design Packs.
Here's some customer service emails you don't want to wake up to. I was drunk. This was a gift, but we broke up. Wrong color, wrong size, wrong me. Sound familiar? With Cleverific, you don't have to deal with these anymore. Cleverific gives your customers a self-service portal to edit their own orders. No emails, no back and forth, just simple fixes. Fewer support tickets, faster fulfillment, and happier customers. Peter Manning New York slashed their order support request by 99%. You can too. Get 50% off the Cleverific Pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for the unofficial Shopify podcast listeners. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Fix the problem before it's a problem. That's Cleverific. All right, number one, we love Anne. Just make that clear.
We love Anne. Anne used to work for us, and then she got too big for her britches and decided that she could just head off on her own because she was a big girl now.
You just miss her.
I do miss her. She's great.
Yeah. No, she's got her app Design Packs, which she's uniquely suited to talk about this because her app does nothing but add theme sections to a theme. So she knows what she's talking about here.
Yeah. So yeah, this AI thing, instead of having a pre-built section, you tell the AI what kind of sections you want, what you want it to have in it. And it just like writes the code and makes it happen. And then it injects it directly into the customized theme. It's not in the actual theme code. It's in like the content editor portion.
It appears in the theme editor, but I think it writes. Well, all right. So you're saying section, it's limited to blocks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You have like an AI section, and in that AI section, you then write blocks in it?
Now, I believe it's any section, you can add a new block. But it can only generate blocks, not sections.
So that's a lot less useful than I thought.
A little less. And like the example I did, it was a block inside the product form section, or the product info section, whichever. Yeah. Part of the way this has to work, the like actual file structure of the theme changes, how are theme updates going to work?
Yeah, because right? because the array of blocks in, it could be the same theme. It's all, we're all running Dawn, we're all running Focal, but then the AI blocks that you generated are different from the AI blocks that this other guy generated. And so when we try to run the theme update, what do we do? Because the base theme is now different.
You know, the issue here, if I've got the previous theme that doesn't work that way, as far as I know, there's not a way to update or have the updater go to this new version where that theme structure changes. Like, what's the path there? And we see that a little bit with what, you know, with Shopify, in that they said, hey, we've got Horizon. Well, why not add this to Dawn?
Well, a developer at Maestro, which is one of the big theme developers. We like them a lot.
And who won a community, a Shopify award for their newest theme.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so one of their main developers flamed Shopify pretty hard because they were just like,
On the Shopify subreddit, right?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, Shopify took the easy way out in that they built an entirely new theme from scratch in order to support this. But everyone else who has a library of themes that they're supporting across thousands and millions of merchants, they've given us nothing. And we have no idea how it will work. And we have no idea if there's any way to update it or how that would even happen. And they're just like, but yeah, look at this great thing we made from scratch that we're the only ones that know how to do it. So he pretty much was like, so no, we will not be updating our themes to support this until they actually give us something to work with.
Yeah, it was, hey... Yeah, we're not updating until we get guidance from Shopify and how this is supposed to work, which is true. So, like, if you want to play with this new tool, just upgrade to a theme that has it that already supports it. That's the option.
In which case is one, and it's like
Horizon.
It's like a beta. Like, it's not even like really released yet.
It's new. I can just grab it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the way I tested it, I made a dev store. Installed Horizon, the theme, and then was able to do it.
And then you'll have the ability to have the app make weird gobbledygook blocks for you that no one else will understand.
You know, I only made two with it. They were fine. What was odd was trying to make it make the same thing twice. It always comes out different.
Yep.
That's just an inherent problem to the way these AIs work. And then the other issue, from a CSS standpoint, it was doing... Absolutely positioning, that's a no-no, isn't it?
It's like you're taking a photo and you're like, there, it works. And it's just like a static thing. Like at that exact moment in time, I mean, is it like responsive?
See that, I didn't really try.
Okay.
That's where absolutely positioning would fall in its
Well,
face.
You have to rewrite the absolute positioning at like literally every single screen.
But I think that's part of the reason why it's like this is limited to a block. You know, like what's the smallest unit of theme?
Yeah.
A block. And so that really makes its life a lot easier, the AI anyway. So, you know, the big exciting thing from earlier was that catalog, Shopify catalog. And Ezra Firestone, bullish on it, right? But when I asked him his pick for like, what's the thing people are sleeping on? It wasn't even one of these announcements. You know, he had his own favorite. So let's love Ezra. Had him on the show before. He's got Smart Marketer. He's got a couple Shopify brands. Let's go to Ezra.
We got Ezra Firestone, Smart Marketer, Zipify Apps. He has been to many of these events. Ezra, how many of these have you been to?
I've been to every one.
Every one?
Even the virtual ones.
The virtual ones don't count.
Come on, they count.
Just watch a replay. It's all good. So what, all right. One announcement, one feature, like just give me a single exciting thing you've discovered this morning.
Well, first of all, we got Tech Nasty, the baddest man in the game, camo jacket, baby.
Yeah, the camo blazer came back out.
I'm here with my boy Tech Nasty. It's good to see you. It's good to be back. I love that we can, we've been doing this together now, I don't know, 10 years or something. I've been seeing
it. Feels like it.
So what I love is that Shopify is really embracing AI, and everyone's talking about AI, but some of the interesting things that they're doing, like what they just talked about, which is catalog, which is the ability, everyone thinks of the Shopify catalog, like it's the catalog of my products. Think about it as a catalog of every single item on all Shopify stores.
The entire platform.
And being able to, like, for them to open their data, for us as developers to be able to query that data and build experiences for merchants, build experiences for consumers, where we're aggregating all data from all stores, is a pretty exciting use case that is going to be really awesome in a bunch of ways going forward. It's not out yet, but like the fact that they are thinking, how can we leverage all of Shopify and put that in developers' hands to make better experiences for merchants and consumers?
And I think what was cool is they said, hey, we built the tooling. We don't necessarily know what is going to come out of this. Exactly. We don't know what people are going to build with this. And it's like, chatbot is an obvious one, but
sure,
we'll see where this goes. Yeah. And so, you know, maybe there's like the ultra Amazon competitor. Who knows?
That's what I'm thinking, and which is why you were going to ask me, what's the most underrated Shopify app? I'm outing this, right?
Yes, well, that was the next question.
I think the most underrated Shopify feature is the Shop app. Nobody is really embracing it. Nobody's on it, but it's like...
It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
100 million people, 100 million have it installed on their phones. It's giving currently tracking updates. People are using it for tracking updates mainly at the moment, but Shopify's incentivizing consumers to use it through the cashback. I use their cashback. I shop only from Shopify stores when I can. Like, I try not to shop on Amazon to be like a good steward of our ecosystem. And dude, I end up with like hundreds and hundreds of dollars of cash back a month. So Shopify is incentivizing their users to shop on this app. We, with One Click Upsell, are the only upsells on the Shop app right now.
OCU.
OCU, baby, let's go. There's so much available for there for merchants to optimize. And like, if you build your Shop app out, and you sign up for the incentives in there, and you install all the apps that are available. Shopify is dumping so much money into getting users to adopt that app. They want to compete with Amazon. They want an aggregate place where a consumer can shop all Shopify stores at once, all products in one order. Like, get on it now, because
absolutely,
it's going to continue to grow, and it's at the very early stages of it.
Yeah, we've got a few clients using it. Probably the most notable, Harney & Sons Tea, Them and us, we're always consistently surprised that it does well and it keeps growing.
Yeah.
And we're experimenting with ads. You can run
ads on
campaigns inside Shop apps.
Yeah.
And they work.
They work. And look, maybe it's 5% of your revenue currently. It's going to be a quarter in like 5 to 7 years. Okay. I mean, a quarter of your business, it's a lot of your business. So we can kind of get ahead of that. And it's the way I think about it is like, any win is a good win. I'm not above a small win. If I can book a win,
absolutely,
and do something that helps me, I'm going
to
do it.
Well, it's funny. It's not even hard to set up. I think
people just
for sure that is
it, like, they're
like,
oh, it's
underrated.
A few points. It's like, okay, but you know what? My dad needs new teeth. If I can make an extra 10 grand, I'm covered that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I'm not above hard work or trying to optimize.
All right. Now tell me, you mentioned OCU. I want to know what you're working on, what you're excited about.
Okay. So OCU, we got a lot of cool stuff going, but what I'm excited about is I'm developing a couple new apps that enable AI. I've got a really sweet, and I think a lot of people are attempting this, but a really sweet app that supports you with customer support, but not the way that you think. The way that people think about customer support is, I'm going to build an AI that the consumer interacts with. I'm not building a customer support app that the consumer interacts with, and I'll just leave it there.
I like where you're going.
Yeah.
I think this is smart.
It's going to be cool. And then I've also got a kind of like in the vein of OCU AI that supports you in capturing lost sales. So I've got two sort of like, you know, look, we got an AI, like you heard what they said. AI is scary disrupting this space. Like the disruption of AI, one of the things that Toby said that blew my mind was only 20% of people under 20 have Safari on their home.
That blew my mind. I'm going to go check my kids' phones.
It's like, wait. So kids, people aren't shopping the way we shopped, right? And I think they made a really good point, which is we had a static internet. Meta, Google, you know, Safari, Apple. Like,
yeah, it was all the standard,
like, for a
decade.
Kind of like social media and web browsers. That's it. That's going away. Now it's all these different disparate apps that people are in based on their interests and use cases, and the commerce layer coming to those apps. Integrated social, integrated app commerce. Like, that's the new world from, like, you and I grew up in a world pre the iPhone. We saw the migration to mobile first, mobile only shopping, mobile only computing. Well, now we're like sort of moving beyond that. You saw me wearing the goggles. We're moving into this like augmented reality, wearable technology, data layer, AR layer over the physical reality, and all this disparate interacting. It's not going to be just on Safari, just on Google, just on Firefox, just on Meta. It's like it's going to be on all these different places. So I think we're moving into a world that actually has more moving parts, and the AI and the commerce layer is going to live on all of those, which is...
You got us talking trends. What's one trend you're noticing with merchants?
I mean, the trend I'm noticing with merchants the most is they're freaked out, man. They're terrified because we have obviously in this, and we are Americans, we're in Canada, but in our country, we have a lot of economic uncertainty.
Yep.
For a number of factors. Geopolitical factors, macroeconomic factor. I mean, and there's a lot of pressure on merchants. Margins are being shrunk. Prices are going up, lead times are long, and you know the bread and butter of what brought us to the dance, which was paid digital advertising and organic search engine optimization, however you did it, whether it was through influencers or through organic search, those are harder. Everything's a little harder. And then you have this technology of like, hey, by the way, not only is everything a little bit more difficult and uncertain, but the technology layer that you're using to build on is fundamentally changing. So
yep.
What I feel from merchants is doubt, uncertainty, fear, and just apprehension to like almost paralysis by, not analysis, but just by like bombardment of
the noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
how do I prioritize? What do I do?
You take the next best step you can take. You do the next thing that you can do in the direction of your goal. And it's going to be the basics. It's going to be optimizing your advertising. It's going to be making better products. It's going to be telling better stories. And it's going to be figuring out what is the best technology for you, because there's so many technology solutions now. And you're going to use the big players. You're going to use an OmniSend. You're going to use a Klaviyo. You're going to use a Shopify. You're going to use a OneClick upsell. Like, but then there's going to be other things popping up. So I think we all thought when mobile devices came out and when search engine optimization basically went away, it was this kind of thing. It was like a doomsday. But look at all the beauty that has happened since then. So it's like, you just got to stay the course.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think with our retainer clients, what's interesting is like they got, you know, just kicked into high gear, where all of a sudden that uncertainty meant we're going to double down and work harder.
Yeah.
And so for us, just like in professional services, the last 3 months have been wild with people.
A lot of activity.
Yeah, with people going, all right, you know, we got
to
get ourselves in the best possible position.
Yeah. I mean, look, I just bought back a company that I used to own, which shall not be named.
Congratulations.
It was the first thing I did. I called you.
Yes. Yes.
Can you come work on this for me? So, yeah.
We're, you know, thrilled to be helping you out. All right, last question. Plug something. Where can we learn more about Ezra Firestone?
Smartmarketer.com, Zipify.com, Instagram.
Instagram.com, the whole thing.
See, I feel like that's always the way, is that everyone's obsessed with the new hotness. You know, we know we have all of the clients we've spoken to. They're always like, I want to have the coolest new store. It's got to be just the most incredible design no one's ever seen before.
Who doesn't want the latest and greatest? Yeah.
So the Switch 2 launches tomorrow. If you're listening to this, it's already out. And you know, if you know about video game consoles, the Nintendo consoles are never the most powerful console.
No.
They're never trying to win you over with their megahertz and their gigahertz and their RAMs, you know.
And their flops.
And their blast processing. There was an executive at Nintendo named Gunpei Yoki. And Gunpei Yoki made the original Game Boy and was a part of a bunch of projects. And his idea was what he called withered technology. And it's technology that is well understood, stable, can be gotten a little cheaper and easier, but everyone knows how it works and everyone is comfortable with it. That's what Nintendo has adopted. They're never trying to always be on the cutting edge. They're always trying to say, what's technology we already know how to use or has been in use for a long time? We're so comfortable with that, we could do the best version of that. And that is like my philosophy too. The latest and greatest is never going to be as good as the thing everybody knows and understands done perfectly.
You don't want to chase the bleeding edge. You don't see the advantage.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's lateral thinking with withered technology. It's using known technology in a kind of new, interesting way. That's why all this AI stuff is me just going like, because I just see all the problems with it. And it's just like, okay, is this better than what we have now? And to me, it's not. That's why I like what Ezra said, what the Shop app is, it's just an Amazon replacement.
Which, yeah, like the Shopify catalog, what's the pitch? A one big pool of all the Shopify products that things on the internet can access. And the reason we're really interested in doing this is because of the fear that Gen Z prefers apps to browsers. Well, what's Shop app? It's an app, and it has, assuming they've opted into it, has all Shopify products across the whole catalog that you could just search.
Ezra's right in that it's entirely it's free money.
Yeah.
It's free money. It's not a ton of free money, but you know, one of our clients uses the Shop app. They make like 5% of their revenue.
Which I'll take it.
On the Shop app.
For the level of effort it takes to set that thing up.
Which for them is like, you know, tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's kind of like they did nothing. All their products are in Shopify already. They, you know, filled out all the fields in the back end. And all they did was just click a button that was like, you know, make this also available on the Shop app. So now they're just getting a bunch of free eyeballs and making no extra effort and making free money.
They also run the cashback.
Yeah.
Like there's advertising you could do inside the Shop app that is just, it's such a bargain, right? And because not enough merchants are chasing that thing or trying it. And so I think all three of us, you, me, and Ezra, are in agreement here. Just go try using the Shop app.
Yeah.
That thing is sweet. Assuming, you know, you're already successful in the online store.
Yeah.
Like, just add it.
You're not going to suddenly make 10 times as much money in the Shop app as you were on your website.
And then, you know, while we were there, ran into a fellow agency owner, Jamal Bouya. And I was like, teach me to say your name. That's how, like, often I start interviews. And he goes, easy. Bouya, like, Bouya. I was like, thank you for that. I will never forget your name now. He was previously a merchant, went to running an agency with his wife. I love people like this because they've been on both sides of the table.
Who are you and what do you do?
Jamil Bouya from Other Half Studios. So I'm partnerships and sales for Other Half. We're a custom design and full stack development agency. We build beautiful websites that convert.
So you're building, you know, soup to nuts, you're building Shopify stores.
Correct.
For merchants, for clients, for brands.
Yes.
What's one feature, theme, something you're excited about? Because you're like, man, this is going to make my life easier or make it easier to sell.
The new AI content blocks, you know, that just makes the development process way easier. We can test multiple kind of things as we're building out a theme. So we're really excited to kind of dive into that and play with it more and see what the capabilities are and the customizations.
I'm excited to play with it. It's available now.
Yeah.
I played with it a little bit and, you know, I've yet to break it.
Yeah.
So you give me new tools. My first reaction is I want to break it.
Yeah.
I want to see where I can go with this. And I haven't broken it yet.
Oh,
so that's good.
That's exciting.
And you know, if you're building store, you're doing biz dev, you talk to a lot of merchants.
Yes.
Give me the temperature. What's a trend? What are we feeling right now?
Well, I think because of the tariffs, the economic uncertainty, everybody's trying to think about optimizing dollars spent, optimizing, you know, just making sure that every dollar they spend everywhere else, when it ends up landing back on their store and their website, they're squeezing every dollar out of every visitor. So CRO, right? People want to know about, hey, how do I take these landing page principles and apply it to the entire site, right? Because as much as design needs to be beautiful, it also needs to work.
Yes. No, absolutely. So it sounds like you do split testing?
We do split testing, but actually our bread and butter is building custom stores from the ground up. So we'll build your own Shopify theme. Custom design dev, and we take a lot of those landing page principles and we apply it across your entire site so that your PDP, homepage, everything's optimized to convert as it would in a landing page.
What are some of your favorite tools that you're working on for this?
Oh, we love Shoplift.
Shoplift?
Shoplift.
Shoplift, really good. Split testing tool.
Amazing split testing tool. Just makes it so much easier. They're Lyft Assist. They got so many features and a great team behind them.
Recently, I started playing with Shoplift,
okay.
And the app is great, but I was impressed with the team.
Yes.
I was like, all right, you guys are on top of things.
Oh, they're great people.
What's one thing you wish every merchant would do?
Oh, my God. One thing I wish every merchant would do, I guess. Oh. I don't know. That's actually a very tough question. I know I was a merchant myself, and I think the biggest thing that I wish I did when I was a merchant was like collaborate more with other merchants. And I think sometimes as merchants, we can get so with your head down,
yep.
Right? And now being on the agency side, it's kind of like the emotions are not as involved. So like,
yep.
I think sometimes as merchants, we get so gung-ho on like our path forward And I think like learning to remove the emotion from the problems, not so much that logic can take over, but you can get like multiple perspectives before wasting potentially a lot of time and money chasing a solution that might not have been a problem necessarily.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
No, it does.
It's more philosophical than it is technical. And I think that's the thing about, you know, running your own store, being a founder, being a merchant. Sometimes it's about like removing the ego from the problems in the situation and, you know, allowing like a collaborative kind of solution to appear once you're chill.
Yeah. It's so easy to say like, oh, just remove the emotion from it.
Yes.
But I mean, if you can, wow, it makes running a business a lot easier.
It does.
Like as a younger man, I think that's the thing I wish I could have changed.
Yes.
You know, when I started 15 years ago,
yeah,
it's like, you know, I was 20-something.
Yeah.
Out of my mind.
The energy we had back then and, you know, where we are now, I think the wisdom that you obtain now, it's like it does make it easier to kind of remove that emotion that we were speaking to. But I think, yeah, I think every merchant needs to kind of find their own path on how to get there and, you know, face some form of failure.
Yeah.
In order to really understand how they react when their back's against the wall. I think that's very important.
Well, where can we go to learn more about you?
Otherhalf.studio.
Otherhalf.studio. Man, .studio is a TLD now? It's not bad.
That's the site, so go check us out. And if you like what you see, shoot us a message or an email, and we're happy to chat.
Jamil Bouya, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate it.
Are your upsells stuck in the Stone Age? Your store runs on data, so why aren't your upsells? Outdated upsell apps make you guess, test, and tweak manually. That's costing you money. Zipify one-click upsell changes everything. Its AI engine automates upsells, analyzing every cart in real time to offer the highest converting product. No guesswork, no setup, just results. Over 10,000 Shopify stores trust OCU, and it's already generated nearly $1 billion in extra revenue. So flip the switch and let AI handle your upsells. Try Zipify one-click upsell free for 30 days at zipify.com/Kurt. That's zipify.com/KURT. Don't leave money on the table. Start AI-powered upselling today.
Yeah, so I asked everybody I ran into that day, like, you know, what's the sentiment with merchants? You know, what are you seeing? And everybody, without fail, just immediately was like, fear because of the T word, tariffs, right? Everybody. It was unanimous. This is the only question I got the same answer to on everything. What do you do? I think the smart thing to do, the thing we've seen, especially with our retainer clients, is the way through is forward. And they just go, all right, we don't know what's coming. If there's an economic downturn, inventory, supply shortages, whatever, the only thing realistically we could do is keep going, you know, double down and hustle. And man, we have been busy.
Oh yeah, we've been banging the last month and a half, 2 months.
And you know, we see this with profit optimization. That's why. If you could do that, you have a healthier business, you can sleep easier at night. I was also lucky to talk to our colleague, dear friend, and a newsletter author, fellow podcast host, Carl Meisterheim.
That's Mr. Ham to you.
I believe that's how that translates to German, is Mr. Ham.
No, Heim is house. It's not ham, unfortunately.
Oh, shows my level of
He's
German.
He's Mr. House.
Ah.
From Fallout New Vegas.
Mr. House, he had thoughts on Shopify catalog, which, you know, we've talked a lot about. Let's hear what Carl's got to say.
Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, Kurt. You know me. I'm Carl Meisterheim. I do app development and technical problems for our agencies and merchants, but I also have the Liquid Weekly newsletter, which I started 3.5 years ago, just to help surface things that are happening in the Shopify developer community. And then a couple years ago, I started the Liquid Weekly podcast with a friend of mine, Taylor Page, the award-winning Taylor Page, who just won the community award, and where we, again, interview different developers, talk about what we're working on, just try to bring Shopify development to light and help people learn more about what's happening.
Yeah, Taylor, your podcast co-host, Taylor Page, won the Community Build Award.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because that thing is heavy. You could bludgeon someone with that thing.
I'm not, I don't envy him for having to carry that around.
Yeah, really, they should mail it to him.
That'd be cost too much.
And Liquid Weekly, I greatly enjoy the newsletter.
Okay, thank
you. I subscribe to many newsletters and read very few. Yeah, Liquid Weekly is the one that, like, I consistently scroll through. So be like, all right, what tidbits does Carl have for me this week?
I appreciate
that. Yeah. All right, so at Editions, we're at the end of the day. It's wrapping up. What was one takeaway for you?
I think the thing that I enjoyed most was the new developer dashboard and the way the DX is improved for people like myself who spend most of our time developing. You know, a few years ago, they came out with the CLI, which was a big change.
Command line interface.
Yep, and that had some rough edges, but they smoothed a lot of them out. But there's still a fair bit of like manual process involved when you would update a scope or handle other things in the app. You'd have to manually deploy it and push it out. But they just released some updates that automate all of that behind the scenes. So they're watching the file system, and when certain files change because you're changing the configuration or even like a locale setting, they automatically get that, push it up as a sort of a hidden version for the app, and it's all said and done. And then they now have the declarative meta objects and meta fields as well for that. So you
yeah,
can
what
actually,
did they, I didn't understand it. What does declarative mean?
Declarative means that you actually are declaring it by typing it out in the TAML file, specifying what the fields are or what the objects are, just like you would through the admin interface, but you're writing it almost as code, the configuration. But the neat thing about that is that it centralizes a source of truth for that information. So you define it in your TAML file, and if you make any changes, it not only gets pushed out to your app, but any of the stores that your app is connected to, as far as I understand it, it updates it there as well. So you don't have to manually go through and figure all that out.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what's the developer dashboard?
The developer dashboard is coming. Some people have access already, but it is a new feature that allows you to spin up dev stores and a whole bunch of other utility features that weren't available before. I think one of the big ones, as far as I understand it, is for folks that were already blessed to have access to Shopify Plus dev sandbox.
Yeah, stores. I can just spin up a Shopify Plus store.
Yeah, like, what's the big deal? All right, not everybody has this, so.
Okay, good. We got to democratize our tools.
Yes, yes.
I get it. What was the other thing we were going to speak to?
The Shopify Catalog API.
Oh, okay. Shopify Catalog is this interesting concept where they essentially said, we're presenting the tools for developers to access all of the products on Shopify. Not one store, everything.
Yes.
So what did you take away from that?
Well, it was interesting. I was able to stumble upon an impromptu AMA about that. And the staff around it seemed to have a lot of hesitancy around, like, it's going to be okay. Like, this is already technically possible anyway because your product info is public because it's on the web, so people scrape it and whatnot. But it is a level of access to your information that wasn't there before, and it makes it a lot easier for other parties to interact with it. I think their take on it is that the future of commerce is moving beyond
the web.
Store, beyond the web, and into these tools like Perplexity, for example, a new search engine AI kind of thing you're probably familiar with, but they're moving more into the shopping space, the commerce space. I have a lot of questions around how that's going to sort out for merchants. I tried asking some of them, didn't get all the answers I needed, but it's very clear that they're thinking very hard about it, and their goal, as they stated, is they really want the best experience for the merchants. That if you use Shopify as a merchant, you have the most leverage of any platform that you could have. And so they're doing whatever it takes to make that happen. Now, how it all sorts out, we'll see, but there's a lot of questions to come.
I like any feature that leverages Shopify as an ecosystem for the benefit of merchants.
Exactly.
And so Shopify Catalog, I like the idea, the possibility of it, but it's kind of interesting. They said, look, we don't know what you're going to build with it yet, but have fun. So it's like, all right, first one, we're building the anti-Amazon.
Right.
It's just the search engine for all of these products.
And the interesting
thing, not actually building that,
no.
But someone will certainly attempt it.
Well, the nice thing too is from the merchant's perspective, there's not much you need to do. Basically, make sure that your product information is up to date and as detailed as you can make it, so that when they surface that information through that API and people access it, like Perplexity or other partners that they end up giving access to, that your products are well represented and easily defined. But beyond that, there's not much you need to do at this point. Now, they did say if you're uncomfortable with it, you can opt out.
Okay.
But by default, everyone's opted in. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Again, hearkening to the, like, it's already out there anyway, so.
That's true.
Is that big of a deal? Maybe.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how that's perceived.
Now, here's where I go with this, right? Like, I think the future is if you're using an agent to shop, if you're using a search engine like Perplexity, you're going to surface products across multiple stores. It's hard not to imagine a future where companies like that are going to want to offer a cart that spans multiple stores, the ability to check out multiple products from different merchants at once. I don't know how that's going to work. And how will that impact things like discounting and cart functions and stuff like that?
I suspect that's coming.
Yeah, I suspect some too.
They had that preview, or didn't they say global cart coming soon?
Yeah.
But they didn't give us details of what global cart is. It sounds like that. It's like a multi-store cart.
Yeah.
Add products from Shopify stores, plural. Interesting.
It is interesting.
So it's like there's a lot of stuff that isn't necessarily an impactful feature right now, but the tools that will come out of it will be a big deal in, I don't know, 6 months?
Yeah. And one question I had, I wasn't able to ask, but is there a way for them to make other information available? So for example, if you're a merchant and you're selling a product and you want to provide a deal where if you buy two of them, you get a gift or a percent off or something like that, that functionality now exists in the context of your store. That's the only place it exists. Is there a way to leverage that too from these other tools as they make this catalog available? Can you publish that information somehow? I don't know how that will work, but we'll be curious to see what that
goes. Look, one thing at a time, Carl.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I heard you're working on a new app. What is it?
I am. So I had this really cool guy approach me. You may have heard of him, Kurt. And he's like, we should do an app
that's
together.
My name.
Yeah, that's your name. It looks a lot like you too. And I was really looking forward to that because the business side, the marketing side, the merchant side, it's not really my strength. I prefer more of the technical work. And so to be able to combine our talents together was exciting. So we're building an app that's a free gift with purchase, which is a pattern we've seen a lot in the different work we've collaborated on from the agency perspective. And by having this, it'll enable us not only to serve your clients, but hopefully get it out there to others that might be wanting that functionality.
Well, and the exciting news is right before Editions, we got the listing and the app approved for the App Store.
Yes.
And now we're ready to beta test it.
Now we're ready.
So we need people who are about to run a free gift with purchase promo who would like to try it. I swear to God it works. But, you know, Carl's only one man. We need guidance, and I have a lot of opinions. We need guidance on what features to add, what you need. And the best way to do that is, I think we give it to merchants for free. And we see what feedback we get. Man, what? As a next step, I got to get people to reach out.
That's right. We got to figure that out.
Yeah.
That's your job, Kurt.
All right. I'll figure it out.
All right. Thanks.
Carl, where can we go to learn more about you? Where do we get this newsletter?
Yeah, you can go to liquidweekly.com. The name is because I can't use Shopify. Not everybody can get away with that. But Liquid's a templating language that we use.
I'm grandfathered in.
That's right. And there you'll find the latest editions of the newsletter, the podcast, as well as a back catalog of all the articles I've shared in the newsletter. So if you're looking for information as a developer mostly, you'll be able to get a whole bunch of that there.
Yeah, I love it. Carl, thank you.
Thank you.
Don't get me wrong. I realize my main job on this podcast is to poo-poo things. But I like the idea of Shopify catalog. Because
all it is
just structured data. It is structured data to make it better for machines to read all of the information about the products on your store that has direct relevance to Google Shopping, to SEO, to how you yourself can look at your products on your store. You know, moving your store to a new platform or changing things about your store. Like, it's always good. I'm like super obsessed with information architecture, and that's the main thing that drives me nuts about a lot of our clients, is that I'm just like, all right, just give me the tags or give me the names or the types of these products, and then we could do magic with them, and they just have no idea. It's even just like, if you do it wrong, but just do it consistently wrong in a single way, and we could figure it out.
I love structured data. I love product taxonomy. I don't know. I assume it's like my OCD nature. It feels good. And what I did not realize is, you know, a lot of the taxonomy tools, like adding categories and having it automatically suggest categories in Shopify, you know, I was like, oh, these are quality of life features. A lot of this, I guess, was setting the stage for enabling this Shopify catalog idea. All right, what I appreciate about Carl was he's a developer. He's a full stack developer who's written like full SaaS applications. And so for him, it's just like a litany of what if questions when you present him with a project as big as the Shopify catalog API.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, his first call out was like, well, how do you decide what products are and aren't in it? And he went to the panel on this. I was busy chugging coconut water, so I missed it. And like he found one of the things they did here. You're opted into this by default, assuming you have a product in the online store.
I mean, I'm fine with that.
Which the logic is, well, it's on the web. An AI could search the web and find this. So why? Let's just fix that and put it into Shopify catalog. Versus like shop, all the other sales channels would typically be opt-in. So like that's just, I don't think that's necessarily bad. I think it's just something to be aware of. But then, you know, if you have all kinds of weirdness on your product, like, you know, there's a product configurator, Shopify's not necessarily aware of that, right?
It doesn't know that. And, you know, I just think about so many clients we've seen that have like the product titles are just like type number 347, best bag ever. Like that's the name of the product. And it's like, okay, that's not going to work for generalized search.
Well, that we end up right back to like the core thing here is the structured data.
Yeah.
You know, on the product listing, trying to standardize that in a way where if I take this product out of your store, does it still make sense? Can I still just buy it? That's, you know, if the answer is yes, then great. That product, your store, Shopify catalog, this will all work great together. If the answer is no, then there's a product you'd want to opt out. And I'm sure there's like fail safes and rules and other stuff that's going to get added in here. But, you know, man, I don't envy developers and product managers at Shopify who are going to have to field this.
It's all JSON, baby. You just do the magic on the JSON and it's fine.
That's the magic of structured data is going to just get us out of this.
Yeah.
You know, like everything, life just gets easier when you're dealing with structured data. I can sort stuff. I can filter spreadsheets, AI, everything can understand it better. So I think like even if this catalog idea doesn't work out, doesn't take off, all the stuff that went into supporting it is going to make life better and easier.
It's essentially taking the shop app and extending the shop app outside of the app frame and into just as like a general API data layer available across the internet.
Yes. Yeah. I think 2 years from now, that's where this is.
Mm-hmm. In the end, you know, we're talking, using a lot of big words and making a lot of claims. In the end, it's just more eyeballs on your products.
Yep.
It's more ways for more eyeballs to get on your products, which is just unabashedly a good thing.
Yeah. It's new surfaces. I mean, the idea is like, okay, let's get this out of the web browser. Let's get this into more apps. Now let's, if this is in an API that these AI, that's like really purpose-built for these AIs, but in theory, other stuff can access it too. Man, this is a win, like for everybody's on the platform. Because my favorite features on Shopify have always been those ones that leverage the network effects of being on Shopify. You know, like just the accelerated checkout, the easy login with Shop Pay, the Shop app, you know, the order track, all that stuff. Shopify audiences, the best, the absolute best. Rising tide lifts all ships, man. That's what we're seeing with these features. Ooh.
Wow, what did they put like a chip in your brain when you were up there?
The whole thing was one long brainwashing session.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was fine. I was like, all right, as long as the coconut water keeps coming, it's fine.
Yeah, you're in a chair with your eyes like this.
Yeah.
There's a giant screen with just Harley on it.
Mm-hmm. The last year's editions, I walked in and just happened to, like, Harley was right there and greeted me. I was able to get him on. This time, I didn't manage to run into him or Toby. Otherwise, you know, totally would have been happy to have them. It just, you know, didn't work out that way.
They're busy.
They're, oh, so, yes, clearly.
No, I'm taking it the other way. Who do they think they are?
Oh, no.
And they didn't search you out? What, are they big time in you now?
Well, they are big time, yes. Yeah, yes. You know, always fun to reconnect with friends. I mean, really, that's what I'm there for. It's just getting FaceTime with my friends. You know, seeing Ann, Ezra, and...
Carl is not your friend.
No, I love Carl. Carl's co-host, Taylor Page from Shopify Developer Alliance, who won a Shopify Community Award. Taylor's a good dude. Here's to, you know, a successful Shopify editions in which I did not almost get the fire department called on me.
Well, a goal for next year.
Yeah. No, I'll get it right next year. And yeah, that's it. We're out.
Goodbye.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, You'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.